Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 9 again. But before we turn to that and read that, let's just close our eyes and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for your Word, which is rich and true. We pray, Lord, that as we open it up, that you would bless it to us, that we might benefit from it truly. Lord, help us as we wrestle with challenging things. Help us to have hearts that are ready to submit to your Word and minds that are ready to think well. Help us to see clearly what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 9 from verse 14 through to 18. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God, who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then, he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Well, the last thing we read yesterday was right at the end there in verse 13. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And we talked a very small amount about election and talked a bit about the reality of salvation belonging to God. And all of that raises, I guess, a challenge, a question. And maybe it's a question that you yourself has wrestled through. Maybe it's a question that you've had someone give to you. I've been challenged on this front before, and it has to do with the word Paul uses, injustice. Although normally the people that will speak to you about this issue won't use the word injustice, rather they'll use the word fair. Maybe you've had someone say to you, if predestination is real, if election is real, if God saves who he wills, doesn't that mean God is unfair? Doesn't that mean that God is not just? And it's exactly that what Paul picks up on when he says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? And he yells out, by no means, or God forbid, as was translated in previous translations of the English. You see, it's the question of if God, or I shouldn't say if because it's true, since God loved Jacob and hated Esau, does that mean that God is not a just God, not a fair God, because he doesn't love Esau? Humanly speaking, if you were to think about a family, if you were to think about your own family, and if your parents were to love one of the children and hate the other child, we would say that's unfair, wouldn't we? When we read the story of Jacob loving Rachel and spurning Leah, we often talk about how unfair and how unloving that was. And so we take those pictures, those feelings, and we then project them onto God and say, aha, I lay my blame at God. It's God's fault. It's God who's unfair. Look at the unjust. Look at the injustice of God. Look how unfair he is. And maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've seen that. But Paul says, God forbid that we say that. By no means. Why? Paul says in verse 15, he, being God, He says to Moses, now this happened when God revealed himself on the Mount of Sinai to Moses. God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So you remember the incident, maybe you do, in Exodus, where Moses is up on Mount Sinai and says to God, show me your glory. And God says, I will cause my goodness to pass before you, and I will declare my name to you. And he says to him, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And so then Paul draws from that the point in verse 16, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. It says salvation, or thinking in the context of Jacob and Esau, Jacob being loved depends not on Jacob's will or exertion, but on God extending mercy and compassion to him. So the reason that Jacob receives love, the reason you and I receive salvation and others don't, is not because we've tried harder, not because of human effort, but solely because God has decided in his sovereign will to show mercy. And then Paul backs up his argument with a biblical defense. And he highlights for us the story of Pharaoh. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. And then in case we don't get the point, he drives it home with the words of verse 18. He has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Now take that verse and project it back onto Jacob and Esau. He has mercy on Jacob as he wills, and he hardens Esau as he wills. For God, this is not a question of fairness. This is not a question even of justice, though God is just and God is fair. It's a question of decision. It's a question of will. And God does as he pleases. The problem for you and I is not actually, at the end of the day, God's justice and God's fairness. Our problem is we seek to judge God based off our own standards. Let me say that again. It's at the end of the day, it's not about whether God's fair or not. Our issue is we try and hold God up to our own personal standards of what we believe is right. And what Paul does here is highlights for us the correct way of processing these things and understanding these things. And so he does two things. Firstly, he doesn't say, what do I think? But rather he says, what does the word tell me? Paul turns to the scriptures and he goes to Exodus. He goes to the event of God's revelation to Moses, and he goes to the revelation to Pharaoh. And he shows us that what the Bible says is that God sovereignly chooses and he decides to show mercy. And then secondly, he bases these things off God and God's standards and God's revealed will. You see, we must remove our desires to hold our standards up to God. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman who was really struggling with the idea of what some people will call double predestination, which is the idea, and there's different ways of understanding it, but the biblical idea that God predestines to life and passes over others, and by his sovereign will, some go to heaven and some go to hell. And he was really struggling with that. And he said to me, I just can't deal with the idea of a God who would send people to hell in accordance with his will. And I remember saying to him, the problem is you're processing this the wrong way. You see, the first fundamental question that you and I must ask is, who is the authority on these things? Me and my ability to process them, or God in his word? God is not asking us whether we think he's fair or not. God is telling us how he acts, and Paul gets that. So then let me ask the question, is it unfair or is it unjust for God to love Jacob and to pass over Esau? Or let's make it more personal. Is it unfair for God to save me and not a family member? Let me make it as personal as I can and use the illustration of my mother. Was it unfair for God to save my mother, but not my grandmother? Or my mother, but not her sisters and the rest of her family? She's the only believer in her family. Was that unfair? Well, it's tempting to think that, but the problem is we're thinking about it from the wrong perspective. You see, we're thinking everyone deserves to be saved. And so when God doesn't save my grandmother, God is being unfair to her. But you see, we're approaching the question from the wrong angle, as Paul clearly understands. God will show mercy on whom he pleases. And had God shown mercy to no one, God would still have been completely fair. Let me say that again. If God had decided sovereignly in response to the sin of Adam and Eve to show mercy and compassion to none, God would be completely just and completely fair. But God, out of his sovereign, stupendous love, mercy, grace, and compassion, decided to save some. And so as we see Jacob being loved, as we see my mother being saved, as I see myself being saved, the great question is not, why not them? The great question is, why me? You see, the real mystery is not that Esau was hated. The real mystery is not that Pharaoh was hardened. The real mystery is, why are any of us loved? Why do any of us receive mercy and compassion? And it's not until we come to that point that we see the true mystery of the work of God. And we're set free from compassion and unfair and all that nonsense, because we come to bow before our Father in heaven and be filled with wonder and worship, meekness and majesty, as we see the saving mercy and compassion of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see, the real mystery is that Jesus would die so that Jacob could be loved. Jesus would die so that I could receive mercy. You see, the real response to the mercy of God is not, why are you unfair? But it's worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the mystery of your mercy, the kindness of your compassion, and the splendor of your majesty. We pray that you'd help us to be filled with worship as we consider these things. Help us to let go of our own standards that we hold up against you and sovereignly submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining me for another devotion. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.